Awesome. Everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Lots of special guests lately. Lots of special guests coming up. We got another one today. Mr. Jordan Pagel. Am I saying Pagel, right?
Poggle.
Ah, see, I knew, as I said, I'm like, this isn't right, but
it's okay.
We won't try to do my last name instead because that's just a whole jumble of words. But no, Jordan is an online coach who helps busy professionals, you know, get in shape, improve their performance, and optimize their health. Jordan, my man, thanks so much for taking the time to come on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome, man. I'm looking forward to digging in. We've talked off and on for a bit, but never in like this depth. So I'm really looking to know more. I mean, I guess selfishly is more about you. Like what were you like growing up, and then what got you into fitness in the first place?
Yeah, for sure. I think my story is probably similar to a lot of coaches out there. I was overweight pretty much since I was a young kid. Growing up in Wisconsin, we have a lot of cheese and fried foods and stuff like that. So I'm sure that didn't help, but I was overweight most of my life. I played sports, but was never really one of the stars, or was pretty much sitting on the bench a lot of the time. So I wasn't really athletic or anything like that. And I kind of just, I felt like I was going to be out of shape my entire life. So fitness was never really much a part of my life unless it, you know, had to be for football or something like that. So, went through college, you know, just kind of doing my thing. Eventually graduated, moved back home to the town I was from in Wisconsin to take a job, working in sports actually. Just kind of out of boredom, got into going to the gym more consistently. I went to a local YMCA and they had like a hot tub and a steam room and kind of stuff like that. So that was cool, like hang out in on my off days. And eventually I kind of just was like, oh, I'm at the gym, I might as well just do something to kill some time. So, you know, I started off, I think like a lot of people do, just like doing a bunch of cardio. Had a bad experience weightlifting in high school. So that was something I kind of stayed away from at the beginning. But, you know, one of the guys there like gave me a program that he had followed and had gotten in shape. So it got me into lifting, and slowly, I wasn't super consistent, but I was, you know, slowly starting to see some results. And I was like, oh, this is like, I don't know why all of a sudden for like the 50th time, I'm finding this much easier than I did before. But so I just kept with it, and eventually, you know, from the exercise came like, oh, okay, I think I need to start probably eating a little bit better too. So did my own research into different diets and methods and stuff like that, and played with that. And, you know, took about 4 years of being on and off, but I eventually lost close to 100 pounds. And when it came time for a career change, I already had a lot of people asking me like, oh, what did you do to, you know, lose the weight and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, you know, I follow a lot of fitness professionals, this online coaching thing. Like, I want to help people experience the same thing that I did. So I kind of, that's when I started my business back in 2014, and have been coaching people ever since.
That's amazing, man. We share a bit of similarities with sports. Now, like, I grew up playing hockey as a typical Canadian kid, but I didn't ride the bench that much, but I didn't want to do any of the off-ice stuff. I didn't want to run. I didn't want to work out. I was like, I just want to play hockey. Even though I knew like I was slower than everyone else and I was heavier, it was one of those things where I look back and I'm like, I wish I was mature enough to really put in the effort off ice, because some of the best players were always just, they were in shape. Yeah. That was not me. And it sounds like that wasn't you. You weren't into that stuff.
No. And I kind of shudder to think, looking back, like, oh, how good could I have really been if I like knew then what I know now, and just like, you know, how I don't want necessarily easy it is, but just, you know, being consistent and knowing what to do, like, oh, how good of an athlete could I have been? How far could I have gone if I wasn't that stubborn or mature kid, like you said?
Yeah. It's that hindsight. Right. And I'll never forget. I was playing pretty high level. I think I was about 15 or 16, and we had to do this like track, a bunch of drills, and I was dreading it because I was a rookie on the team. A bunch of guys were older, faster, in better shape, and I actually outlasted a lot of them on the endurance. And I was like, if I had pushed myself like this more often, like I could have actually did a little bit more here. But even the coach was like, where is this coming from? So it's like this spurts of like, I could do things if I really wanted to, but it took like, it's similar for you. Like I didn't lose 100 pounds. For me, it was more like 40 or so, I think, over a couple of years, where it took me. And I'd love to hear more about yours, is like just trial and error. Like for me, it was like doing a bunch of these style of workouts. I had a personal trainer, but he was more like bodybuilder. But then he also would work in some calisthenics and hockey style training. But I was doing all this kind of stuff. But the one thing for me was the diet. Like I never really focused on it. I would just like, yeah, I'm working out so hard, I'm just going to eat more. And if anyone listening to this knows, that's not helpful at all.
Right. Yeah. 100%. For me, it was like, I think I started off with one of those very fad type dangerous diets. I think it was the HCG diet or whatever, which, when you're only eating 500 calories a day, you're going to drop weight. But eventually I kind of graduated. Like I was following just a typical, I think it was bodybuilder style workout, but that was, you know, I was enjoying it. I was getting stronger. I could see results there. And then, you know, I remember every morning at work, one of the first things I would do, I'd have like my list of websites I would read, and Ask Men was one of them.
Okay.
And I remember they had this article. It was written by John Romanello. I don't know if you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not in the fitness industry anymore, but he became a mentor to me eventually, but it was an article by him about intermittent fasting. And I remember reading, I'm like, huh, this seems pretty simple. Like this is something that I can do. So that's really what I got started with as far as nutrition, was just doing fasting and saw results with that. And eventually that, you know, that fasting rabbit hole led me down to like a bunch of other fitness coaches and learning more about the actual nutrition portion instead of just the fasting. So that kind of just like, it's funny how you kind of go down, you know, just one little rabbit hole and that just opens up everything else. And that I've always, you know, I've told John this multiple times, like that article for me, I always consider it was like my real first, what really got me into fitness and led me to where I am today. Cause it was just something that clicked reading that. I'm like, oh, this is something that I can actually do and stick to. I feel like
that's huge. Yeah. I think the important thing too is you're open-minded enough to learn more. I think that's what happens sometimes with people. Like they'll see one method of eating or training and it's just like tunnel vision. It's like, that's all I'm going to do. That's all everyone should do. But in your case, it was like, no, I love this, but let's learn more about nutrition in general, which I think is necessary. And I think that's why what makes you a good coach is you're well-rounded. It's not just like a one track mind. Everyone has to do it this way. It's, you know, there's different ways to do this, but here, what's going to work for you.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, just a big part of that help more people be successful is just being open to learning. Like you said, like don't get stuck on this one thing, or like if something worked once and, you know, going back to it all the time because it worked before. Like I rarely do fasting anymore. I don't really recommend it too often anymore just because my views have changed. But it's like that's got me started and got me started learning more. And just, I think, yeah, being open to learning new things and trying new methods is something important both for coaches and clients.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. And I find myself, I don't know if I would do, I would call it like fasting, like with intention. It's more, I just wake up, I'll have a tall coffee. And then what I'll do is one of my clients graciously gave me like 2 pounds of protein coffee.
Okay.
So it's like a little bit extra coffee flavor plus some protein. So that'll last me, you know, a couple hours while I'm just working away at the computer, I have calls. And then when it's time to eat, I'll eat. Like, I think it's just kind of what's worked for me. I also really like to eat big dinners. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's just my personality. Just like when the workday is done, sitting down with the family, I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
And I can just relax. I don't know what you're like with food. If I have a really big breakfast, it can help, but it can also be like, I don't really know if I can like jump on calls and like write right now kind of thing.
Yeah. I used to be that way. I used to like do the fasting and have like these huge like dinners and stuff like that. Now I'm at like, you know, whatever it is about my body or just like the style that I've done now. Like I prefer small dinners and just eating a little bit more frequently throughout the day, especially too. Like most of the time I train in the morning because I don't like having to interrupt my day to go to the gym or anything like that. So I go get it done. And then, you know, getting in something post-workout since I haven't eaten beforehand is, I find that to be much more doable for me and stuff like that. But I think that's what, like we talked about too, just being open to different methods and trying things and seeing, you know, what is going to work best for you.
Yeah. 100%. Now over the course of the last, I guess it would be, let's do a few years. Let's say like the whole 8 years, but like now your work's, I'd say, probably busier than ever, I can imagine. Was your training always something you wanted to get done in the morning, or did you used to do afternoon workouts?
I've really been all over the board. It kind of depended on where I was with work. For a while there, I was really I loved my morning workouts. I love just getting up early in the morning, getting work done. I feel like I'm so much more productive in the morning anyway. So I would get up and work for an hour and then go to the gym at 6 a.m. Wow. And then it kind of shifted. I moved in with my girlfriend in Colorado from Wisconsin. And so I would go during the day, and then we moved out here to California. And I'm well, with my schedule, I know I don't enjoy doing it during the day. I haven't gotten up in a year or in years to go to the gym, but this is something I got to make myself do, because it's just especially too, with the gym we have here, if you're not there at 5 a.m., you're not getting equipment for a long time. So just from a time standpoint too, I have to get it done in the morning, or I'm going to go there, get annoyed, frustrated that I have to be there for, 30 minutes longer. So it's that's what works best for me. And I think again, that's just something trying to help people find what works best in their schedule is, part of the whole process.
Yeah. So with your clients, I guess, depending on their schedule, that's when you'd help them formulate their training. If they have to work all day and they can only make it in the evening, you kind of help them strategize on how to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it definitely comes down to what's going to work best for them. I always say, especially if they're working long hours and they have family too, and responsibilities at night, you have to try to push them to get it done in the morning, because it's just, if you don't get it done in the morning, the longer it goes on during the day, the more things can get in the way that you're just going to put it off. So, and I was just talking with somebody the other day, they're like, yeah, I can't work out any other time in the morning, but I have just such a hard time getting up. I'm like, well, if you can't get it done any other time of the day, then this is when you have to make it a point to do it. And I dug a little bit deeper with him. I asked him, is he not sleeping well or something like that. And sleep was good. He just didn't want to get out of bed. I'm like, well, you have a choice. You can either get up a little bit earlier and get your workout in, or it's not going to happen. Which would you prefer? So it's working with the clients, but too, especially now, I think with COVID and everything the last couple of years, I have a lot of clients who have pretty well equipped gyms at home, which comes in very handy. So just depending on when it works best for them, helping them fit it into their schedule and kind of helping them then optimize the rest of their lifestyle around that too, to make sure that, they're eating at a good time to help make their training and recovery more effective and not interrupting sleep and everything like that. So it's just, piecing that puzzle to together with everything else.
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense. I'll tell you firsthand, I loved building my home gym, but it's been a gift and a curse at the same time, because it's very easy to not do your workout in when my desk is right here, my gym's right behind me, the kitchen's upstairs, the dog's upstairs. There's all these other things that can pull me away. Whereas if I think, and it was going well pre-COVID too, where I was going to the gym early in the morning. I was like, I'm just going to get up at 6 and just go and come back in time enough to, start the family breakfast and all that stuff. But it got me out of the house, which was just, once you leave, if you're going to go to the gym, once you leave the house, you're going. It's not like you're going to leave the house and do something else. You're going to go to the gym. So it's it's been great that I can just pop back there and get a workout done. But at the same time, I'll find myself wavering. I'm I got this to do, but I need to do that. So it's this internal fight with the home gym.
I always go back and forth on when we get a house, where I can actually do it, if I want to build a home gym or not, because in the same way, I enjoy the process of leaving the house, going to the gym, being in that environment with other people. But at the same time too, if it's busy or if I can't get a piece of equipment I want, it gets very frustrating. And I just want to be able to move from one thing to the next with the equipment that I want. So it's this catch 22 is do I really want to invest that money in a gym, or just, find a really good gym and go to that. So
just put a little bit more money into a better gym instead of, that might be the next play. Yeah. And we talk about home gyms. Did you work directly with Eric? Were you guys partners in a program? I forget what was going on a few years back.
No, I've been just a coach for Eric for a number of years now. So just taking in clients here and there whenever they have he has, you know, an overflow clients or anything like that. So for a while there, it was just me and him. Like he was kind of done with the coaching side of things, and I was taking on more clients. And so that's just kind of just been just another side thing that I've been doing for a while, since, you know, he and I have a good relationship and have been friends for a number of years as well.
Yeah. Cause I remember before we first connected, one-on-one, I remember seeing your name in and around the social media world. Cause I worked with Eric. He was a business coach back in 2017. So I remember that. I just forgot about, you just reminded me about the home gyms. I forgot what the relationship with you and Eric was, but great coach, working out from home, balancing it all. Do you find he ever needs help with his programming, or do you have to push him because he's working out from home too?
Yeah. So I actually coached, did programming for Eric for a while, and we get, you know, we get talking about this stuff all the time, in the weeds and stuff of fitness. But I think we all need that push, especially I think people working out from home too. That's like you said, that's one of the things. There's so many other distractions at home. It's so easy to leave to leave and go to the gym and get it done much easier. But yeah, I think we all have those distractions or need that push or that motivation. And that's why, even I've had a coach for, God, I don't, 5-6 years now, and I don't know if I'll ever be without one, just for that being accountable to somebody. We all have our blind spots, and being accountable to somebody is just, it always helps, I think, in any respect.
Yeah. For me, it was more the reason I needed coaches is I didn't want to make my own programs anymore, and I needed to be accountable. Cause I found, I don't know if you do this too, but I found myself tweaking my program as I went, which I'd create the program. And then on the day of, I'd be like, I don't know if I feel like doing this exercise today. Let's swap it. And then it became I was just messing up the program. So I'm I can't keep doing this anymore. Let's just let someone take care of that. I'll execute. And we just move on.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, especially, I think it surprises a lot of clients, you know, maybe when a coach, we say we have coaches too, but for me, nothing has taught me more about coaching than having a coach and how to apply different things to clients and stuff like that. So that's, the accountability and not having to do your own programs is fantastic. But for me, the educational value is it's worth every single penny that, you know, I would spend on a coach.
Absolutely. One of the best investments.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I want to talk about when you first became a coach, because you said it was a bit of a career change. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you?
It was definitely shocking. First of all, because I was working for a baseball team. It was something I had done since I was 14. And so a big part of my job was sales and selling advertising and stuff like that. And I wasn't good at it. I didn't really have a ton of training. I didn't never done it before. And I just didn't know how to do it. So eventually they're we love having you here, but your sales numbers just can't support us keeping you. So they had to let me go. And at that point I was oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is all I have ever done. This is all I really saw myself doing. And then I just jumped into the coaching thing. I decided this is what I enjoy doing. This is what I know. I have people asking me about it. I've followed enough trainers and coaches. I got John Goodman's first two books or whatever it was, and read those. And I can do this. So I kind of just, set up a blog, started writing, set up a website, and I did some in-person training at the YMCA for a while, but I always knew that I wanted to do the online coaching things. Mm-hmm. And enjoyed the writing and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of how I got started. And it was definitely a rocky first couple of years, I think, it was for anybody, but I definitely had some good mentors and stuff along the way that have helped me get to where I am today.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I didn't realize. I mean, so your average coach, right? They're spending years usually on the gym floor. Mm-hmm. For you, it was you knew that online coaching was going to be the direction you wanted to head. Mm-hmm. What made you decide that's the way instead of the usual on the floor route first?
I'm a very introverted person. Growing up, people make jokes does he talk to my parents does he talk. So I've always been very introverted, you know, probably some social anxiety stuff and as well, but that just was an avenue for me that I felt like I could connect better with people with writing. And, you know, obviously through the years, I've gotten better at the in-person communication and that kind of stuff. But when I started, like, it being as introverted and that being my preferred method of communication and stuff like that, that just felt a lot more natural for me. And when I saw other people doing it and being very successful at it, that I felt like that was definitely something that I wanted to go after.
Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's the gym floor kind of forces you to be, I guess, personable would be the word I describe it, because you have to work with people nonstop all day. And it's, I sometimes miss it, but at the same time, like, the time freedom is something that I love. And which I say time freedom, but I'm busier than ever. But, like, for me, it's more when we've had our firstborn, I was missing so much. I was like, I was out of the house all day. So I'm like, I don't want this to be my life when my kids are young, especially.
Yeah.
So that's what pushed me to do Online Trainer Academy Level 1 back in 2015-16. You know, bought John McGoodman's book, Ignite the Fire. And I forget the name of the other one. But those are definitely, like, they were huge and just kickstarting my mind. It's like, this is a real thing. Cause back then, and when you did in 2014, like, online coaching was pretty new. Like, that was 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
What was that like? Like, did you have to explain to people what it was? Were people aware? Like, they just brush you off? Like, they don't know what that is.
I still have to explain to people what it is a lot of the times. My family, most of my family didn't really understand it at all. My parents were supportive, but the rest of my family was very leery of it. I remember asking my grandparents early on for, like, some money to help, you know, I don't remember what it was. I think do some advertising and stuff like that. And they definitely did not believe in it at all. So it was definitely something that, definitely tough going early on, I think, especially when you are essentially starting from nothing, starting from scratch and not having a lot of experience as a coach and not having a lot of testimonials and stuff like that. And, you know, just giving away training for free and all that kind of stuff that you do when you get started. It was definitely tough and definitely a grind. And, like I said, thankfully, you know, I was able to, John Romanello did a mastermind early on. Eric and I were a part of that. And that's where I met a lot of other coaches and made connections that just kind of helped me move up the ranks and get in front of some of the right people and be able to, you know, display my abilities as a coach on a broader scale, which is really what it has helped me, you know, get to where I am today.
That's huge, man. What do you think has changed or improved in terms of, like, your coaching and being able to help people online?
I definitely think my depth of knowledge and just experience. Like, I remember when I got for a while there, I was working for a coaching company where I got, like, clients sent at me left and right, and just being able to work with that many people gave me so much more knowledge and understanding, both about, like, the body and people as a whole, but also just how to deal with clients and how to speak to people and stuff like that. I think that was, you know, you can put in place macros and exercise plans and whatever else, and, you know, you can get people pretty good results, but if you can't, like, coach them and understand them and get them to understand why they're doing these things, then they're always probably going to struggle. And I think that's where my growth over the last, you know, 5 years has occurred the most, is just being able to understand and connect with the individual better than just giving somebody macros and a workout plan.
100%. I'd attest to that 100%. That was the biggest difference maker for me, was, like, how much more there is to this than just a training program, personal training sessions, and, like, what to eat every single day. Like, I think that's, I've talked about it on the podcast before, like, the difference between a trainer and a coach. As a coach, is you have to really dig deep with people. You have to have some uncomfortable conversations. You have to get people to come to some realizations on their own, but it's really an all encompassing thing where it's not just the food you eat. It's not just the workouts. You know, we talked a bit about stress, sleep, you know, other things that are going to happen in life, and coaching people through that is the difference maker, I'd say, because, and again, you've been in the industry longer than me, like, workout programs are all over the internet.
Yeah.
Right. They're all there. Meal plans too. So it's like, that's usually not the missing piece. Mm-hmm. What would you say has been the biggest difference maker for your clients now? Like, is it calls? Is it just the support accountability, or is it like the, your ability to tailor programs to them?
I think it's, I would say it's my ability to tailor the approach to them. Cause I think one of the things that I do more now, and I can thank one of my coaches for this, is just the depth that I go into with clients in their check-ins. So obviously not just looking at compliance, but looking at things like energy and stress and digestion and sleep and all those other things that, you know, most people don't really think of, but actually tie into, you know, a person's success in a very big way. Sleep controls so much, stress impacts so much, like being able to look at those minor details on a much more in-depth scale, I think helps me to be able to tailor approaches to clients that benefit them much more. So, you know, if somebody is overly stressed, you know, maybe we have to pull back training a little bit and they're sluggish and struggling with energy just to, you know, get them feeling a little bit better. If they're having digestive issues and they're stressed out all the time, you know, okay, that's, you know, you can't continue to put more stress on yourself. We have to be able to address these things too. So, you know, that was something that when I started working with a coach who asked me all these questions every single week, I was like, why am I being asked all this? But I learned and understood more, like these things are critical for, you know, not just whatever, you know, your goal is over the next 4 or 6 months, but for the next 40 or 60 years. Like you have to be able to, you want to live a quality life for forever, not just for, you know, the next year or whatever. So, and I think going back to what you said about, you know, difference between a trainer and a coach, I would go one step further than that is, you know, I really look at myself as an educator too, and helping to help people understand, you know, why things are what they are, you know, why maybe they feel this way, why are they experiencing these certain things, so that ultimately whenever we are done working together, they can still take this information and apply it every day in their lives to be able to continue to see this success and live the quality of life that they want.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think we need to teach. I think that's part of it, because most people, I think, that come into my coaching program, and maybe it's the same for you, maybe it's not, but most people have tried this, that, and the other thing coming in. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do we reprogram, you know, and what worked then didn't really work, right? If you can't mm-hmm. sustain it. So it's like, we need to make something that works with your lifestyle, but something that you're gonna be able to keep up. Cause at the end of the day, 12 weeks is not gonna like make or break 20 years or 12, like, you know what I mean? It's gonna be a lifelong thing, where I say to clients all the time, if I text you next year, 2 years from now, I want you to be in a better place than you left my program. Like it, for me, it's, I don't want to have someone unravel after they leave. I think that's bogus. Like they can do that without me. I don't want to be that person. But longevity is, it's not sexy to talk about, I think, on social media, because it's, you know, we live in a very instant gratification kind of society, where thinking 20, 30, 40 years down the road, it's like, I got time for that. Like I got, and then if you talk to anyone in their 40s, 50s now, which I'm sure some of your clients are, it's like, I wish I took care of this 20 years ago. Right.
Yeah. 100%. I think like we talked about earlier, it goes back to, you know, a little bit of reprogramming too. I'm sure you've experienced, you know, a new client coming to you and, you know, they want different results than they've gotten before, but they're attached to their old way of doing things. And they're asking, you know, why aren't we doing this? Like, I thought carbs were bad or something like that. It's so much about, you know, reprogramming people to that longevity mindset, that it's not just, you know, maybe they signed up for 16 weeks of coaching or whatever. Like, yeah, we're going to focus on doing everything we can to help you in these 16 weeks, but what about the next 16 years? Like you can't just focus, like you said, it's a lot of instant gratification, but you can't just focus on the now. You have to focus on what do I want my life to look like, you know, when I have grandkids. Like I want to be around to see them and experience that and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to be suffering with health issues and all the things that, like you said, I think a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, 60s now experience, wishing they could have done something or knew how to do something about it sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And I think, I mean, the reprogramming of people's like intentions or strategies, it's not inherently their fault either. That's the tough part. Like, it's not their fault. It's like, that's what they were taught. That's what they learned. You know, they can think back to a time when they lost 20 pounds and they felt amazing, even though we know that wasn't sustainable. And that's why they've come around a few years later, like, I need to do something good. So it's like, anyone listening to this, it's not your fault if you still think like carbs are bad for you, you can't eat after 9 p.m. It's just, that stuff is either fear mongering or it's just been around for too long, where it almost becomes this like false truth where it's knowledge that everyone thinks is true. But when you dig in deeper, it's coaches will help you see that it's really not, it's not helpful either.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I think the other thing to remember too, is that like we as people change, our bodies change, our hormones change, our lifestyle, our stresses change, all these things impact what we're doing as far as a plan. And, you know, maybe you were in your 20s and you did some sort of low carb approach. You had no stress. You were single, you'll be able to make your own schedule or whatever else. And now you're 40 with a family and a stressful job and a busy schedule. Like that same approach is probably going to cause you more harm than do good for you. And that's why it's so important. I feel like in my approach is looking at all these different factors and focusing so much on the lifestyle, making sure what we're doing with nutrition, with training fits into that lifestyle and makes what you're doing better, not worse.
I love that you said that. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing's more painful to hear than, you know, a mother of two in her 40s, thinking back to a time when she was in her 20s pre-kids. And I have to tell, it's not fair. Like, you're not being fair to yourself comparing pre-kids to post-kids. To me is one of the biggest lifestyle changes you can make. And your body is not the same at all. Yeah. Neither is your life, right? I can, and you brought up the 20s. Sometimes I think back to when I was in my early 20s. I had all the time in the world. I could go to the gym for 3 hours if I wanted to. I had no really other cares in the world. I had a girlfriend at the time and a part-time job, and that's it. And I played hockey. Yeah. I could do whatever I wanted. Now at 32, almost 33, it's like, okay, I got two kids and I'm running a business and I'm also a mentor and I have a wife. And it's like, it's almost like I don't know what to do at times, or I'm overwhelmed with things. Whereas if I could jump back 10 years, I'm like, I had it so easy. So yeah. It's not even fair to compare.
I know. I don't remember who I was saying this to the other day. It was like, we always, when we were younger, we wanted to get older and be able to do all these great things. But now it's like you said, it's, you know, family and business and all these other things that come with growth and getting older, that, you know, they're great, but they also like require adjustments in other areas of your life as well.
Yeah, 100%. And those adjustments are the key. Like if I didn't make any adjustments, I wouldn't be in any sort of shape to either for myself physically or like being able to take care of my family or run a business. I feel like if I didn't make the tweaks that I've made over the years and learned the hard lessons that I guess was stubbornly learned on my own, I wouldn't be where I am today. So it's tough. It's like that. You can't be stuck in where you used to be. You have to kind of accept where you are now and ask yourself, like, what changes can I make today?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing with your clients. Do you find like it's an average, are their parents, are they 40 plus? What do you find with them?
Yeah. So most of my clients, I say it's a pretty even mix of parents and, you know, maybe they're single or they're in a relationship, but not married or have kids yet. So, it's definitely balancing, you know, kind of helping two different subgroups of people, people with more time, you know, people with maybe more responsibilities. But yeah, I've definitely found that, especially with the people who have kids or more responsibilities, or, you know, maybe business owners or stuff like that who are busier, it's really comes down to more than anything helping them find time in their day and helping them figure out what is going to be the most important thing to prioritize to help them, you know, start getting the results that they want. And also too, helping them manage expectations. Like, you know, you have a lot going on, you have these responsibilities, like you're not going to lose, you know, 20 pounds in 12 weeks or whatever it might be. Like, don't put that, you know, helping them just manage their expectations, I think and you would probably agree, is another just big component of coaching and working with people.
It's huge. Yeah. Because if someone goes in with one expectation, us as the coach have another, it makes for a rough time for both parties. And it's not fair to either. And I think the biggest thing is that I've seen, and I've come to more of a realization of it lately, it's like when someone jumps into a program, whether with a coach or not, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this program, I'm going to lose the weight, and I'm going to go back to my regular way of life. Well, like, that's not that's not how it works.
Right.
Like, yeah. You have to change eating patterns. I think mostly it comes down to changing your mind about mm-hmm. how you live your life. And that's probably the hardest thing, right? Telling someone, I had this conversation the other day, telling someone to change their sleep routine is probably one of the hardest things, because we're so ingrained with how we fall asleep mm-hmm. or how we wake up or what times. It's like, that's one thing that's almost like taboo sometimes. Like, no, I will not do that. Or I always fall asleep with my phone. It's like, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing. Like, sleep's become a very big focus for all my clients. And so I've really tried to do a good job up front of setting that expectation and explaining to them why it's so important. I think that one of the biggest ones that I think you put up a post about this last week before the holiday weekend, mm-hmm. The biggest one that I run into with people is not wanting to change their alcohol habits. And that's a tough one. That is definitely, you know, I don't know why people attach drinking so much to themselves personally, but it can often be a very tough conversation with people to help them understand why this, you know, one, it's not going to support your goals, but also it's like alcohol of any amount is not healthy. Like the healthiest amount of alcohol to drink is zero. Yeah. And like, that's a hard truth, I think, for some people to understand. So it's definitely like, yeah, we talked about just helping. The challenge a lot of times is not, I think, getting people to necessarily eat better. Cause I think inherently a lot of people know what they should and should not be eating most of the time. Yeah. There are some habits that around that need to be improved, but a lot of it is improving those other habits, because mm-hmm. when you're sleeping better, you're feeling better, you have more energy. It's easier to go to the gym. You don't feel as stressed when you know, when you're not drinking, you're sleeping better and you have more energy. And it's like all these little things feed into making following your plan so much easier.
Yep. That brings it back to what you said in the beginning about your own fitness journey. Like, you started going to the gym, you started seeing some results. You're like, well, since I'm working out and I'm feeling better, I should start eating better. Right. Mm-hmm. It's the trickle effect. And I think with the alcohol thing, I think some people, and I'm not coming down on anyone for alcohol. Like, I drink occasionally. It's to each their own. It's kind of my approach, but I feel like a lot of people we like to have an identity of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So if I identify myself as a beer drinker, or I don't know what it's like in the US, in Ontario especially, there's a lot of snobbery around beer. There's craft beer drinkers, and then there's everyone else. Mm-hmm. So I'm an occasional beer drinker. I like to have different beers. Do I know everything about it? Absolutely not. But it's like, I know if I'm having one with dinner a couple nights a week, that's probably the most I can do without negatively impacting my sleep, my mm-hmm. eating habits after that, and just overall how I feel. I recognize the days where I have a few too many, my eating goes to hell. Yeah. Obviously I've had liquid calories now from alcohol. So it's that tough conversation where I've had clients come to the realization on their own without me having to say anything about, like, you know, I need to stop drinking. I feel like it's holding me back. I don't feel good doing it. And when they do it on their own, you know, it makes our job easier. It's the tough conversations like, do you need to have a drink every single night?
Yeah.
And then it's the, why do you need to have a drink every single night? It digs in a little deeper, because like you said, it's alcohol is literally poison. Like, when you get down to the science of it, it's not healthy, no matter how much, you know, the antioxidants push of a few years back. It's like, it's really not going to benefit you in any way, shape or form. It's just alcohol is become as normal as coffee. You know, caffeine is a drug, which we all love, but it's that alcohol, whether it's a social thing, whether it's to get away from stress. How have you found, like, have you found that clients will just make those tweaks on their own, or you have to kind of talk with everyone's like, okay, it's time to kind of cut it down?
Yeah, I definitely do. I would say a lot of clients do kind of make that change on their own. I think, you know, those clients particularly, they understand, like, they're making these changes in other areas. They probably have a good understanding, like, maybe they drink more alcohol than they should be, or that it probably isn't the healthiest thing for them. So, you know, those clients, I will say, like, across the board, I've never had a client cut back or give up alcohol for an extended period of time, like a month or more, and not see benefits from it and not feel like it was a great decision. Never once have I ever seen that somebody like, oh, I gave up drinking for a month and nah, I didn't like it. Yeah. I've never not had people see benefits from it. And it goes back to so many things like you talked about, like one of the, like, I love like a craft cocktail or something like that. Like, but like, I know the negative impacts that it has on me, particularly with sleep. Like I have my Oura Ring here and just looking at what one drink will do to a night of sleep versus normal night of sleep, like with heart rate and the depth of sleep and all that stuff. It's very eye-opening. And I think like going back to what I talked about educating with people too, is like you as a coach, you're there. Ultimately at the end of the day, you're there to present the client with the options. This is what is going to work best for you, allow you to reach your goals. If you continue to do X, Y, and Z, this is what's going to happen. And at the end of the day, like they have to make that decision for themselves. You can only lay out the options and educate them on why one thing is better for them than the other. But at the end of the day, like they have to make their own decisions. And if you provided them with the support and the education, like at the end of the day, you can't do things for them. And just making sure that you're helping them understand where they want to be and what is going to take for them to get there is, I think, the most important thing. And just so they're making their decisions from an educated place.
100%. You said it, man. I think the clients that see the best results end up having that education, but also the realization of they themselves need to make the change. I think it's just human nature, right? And I watch my 5-year-old do it all the time. When he's struggling with something, I want to jump in. I want to just do it for him, but I have to stop myself because I know that it's important for him to be able to do these things on his own. As struggling as he is, or as frustrated as he gets, it's like he has to fight that. So with clients, it's almost the same of like, I can tell you everything. I can try to teach you everything, but I can't do it for you. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you what to do, right? At the end of the day, you have to come up with the answer, the solution on your own, because that's when it sticks.
Yeah.
Anything you ever kind of do and learn in life, it's like you have to inherently do it for you and with yourself. It's not, you can't live life doing things because people tell you to do them, basically.
Yeah,
right.
100%. And I have my longest term client. She's been with me for over 5 years now. And we, have a phone call every week or every other week. And occasionally she'll just say like, she'll say something that I told her a long time ago and she'll be like, see, I listen. Sometimes it just takes me a while. And that goes back to what you said. Like you just have to kind of come to the realization on your own. Or I talk about this a lot with my clients too. Like a lot of the stuff that we're doing, you can't replicate, you can't explain, you have to experience it. So going to a 4th of July party and overeating and not feeling great the next day, it's that experience that teaches you next time, maybe I have to make some different choices. And that's, again, you can say as a coach all you want, eat mindfully, don't overeat, eat, focus on protein and veggies and that kind of stuff. But until you actually experience what the opposite side of that is and how it makes you feel, like you don't really understand it.
And that's yeah.
I think as a coach, we always encourage clients like, yeah, maybe they signed up for 12 weeks or 16 weeks or whatever, but really to completely understand like everything involved in truly making a permanent transformation, it's going to take much longer than that.
Yeah, 100%. And we can give the strategies and the tips and what to look out for. And I think in terms of like long weekends and like 4th of July just passed, as we're recording this, I think a lot of people have experienced that, like not feeling good after the weekend, but it's been normal for them.
Yes.
Whereas now they want to make the change of like, they don't want to feel that way. So it's like, we can help you before the holiday comes, but what you're doing with it after or during is entirely up to you, whether you want to follow suit. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes you have to have that internal battle with yourself. Like I talked about earlier with like workouts, like I know the workouts are going to help me feel better, operate better. I know the weeks that I don't work out, I feel terrible. Like I don't show up the best. Mental health isn't great. Physically, I don't feel good. No energy, no sleep well. So it's like, I had to live through, they had to go fight through the mud kind of to come out and figure it out for myself. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of what we do is repetition on our end too. Like I tell people all the time, like fitness, long-term fitness isn't sexy because it just becomes another thing that you do. The results are sexy because you feel great. You're living the life you want to live, but it's like, you have to do the same things day in, day out, whether it's eating at the same time or sleeping at the same time, eating a lot of the similar meals. As I say it, it sounds repetitive and mundane, but it, you know, is brushing your teeth exciting? You know what I mean? Like, is going to the bathroom and wiping after exciting? No, at least I don't think it is, but fitness is the same. It's like you go and work out, get it done and live. And I think that's, at the end of the day, like that's has to be the long-term approach, is just repetition over time.
Yeah. I think you alluded to it there. It has to be not something you do. It has to be part of your lifestyle. Like, it's, if you want to, you know, maintain success long-term and live a higher quality of life, it has to be part of your life, not just something you do, like go to the grocery store one day because you have to. Like, you do it because it's just a part of your life. And that's where I think ultimately our job as coaches is to help people get to that point, you know, and whether they continue to work with us after that because they enjoy not having to think about things and having someone do programs for them like we talked about, or they feel confident enough, like, I can continue this on my own. I feel like I know what I'm doing. I can replicate this every day. Like, if we can get them to that point, then I feel like we've done our job.
Yep. Took the words out of my mouth. At this point, Jordan, my man, I'd love to put you on the spot and ask for one golden nugget for the audience. It could be literally anything.
Yeah, I think kind of going back to something maybe we talked about a little bit earlier, like, manage your expectations. Like, I think a lot of people put unnecessary pressure on themselves, like feeling like they have to accomplish a certain goal in a certain amount of time, like lose 20 pounds in 12 weeks or whatever. Like, all you're doing at that point is putting more stress on yourself, putting more pressure on yourself to feel like you have to be perfect, which we know never works out. You're never going to be perfect. Focus on getting, you know, even if it's just 1% better every day, focus on continuously improving yourself. You know, look at what you're doing during the day. What can I do a little bit better? Maybe, you know, maybe I was a little bit lax and had an extra, you know, even if it's like a banana with peanut butter after my after dinner or something like that. Just look at the areas, like, what can you improve on every day? Can I, you know, put my phone away before I go to bed sooner? You know, whatever it might be, always don't focus on the end goal. Focus on the actions that you need to achieve that end goal every day. Because I think, as we both know, when you do that, that is what is ultimately going to help you get where you want to go. Not stressing out about, oh my gosh, I only lost half a pound this week. I need to lose a pound and a half next week to be able to reach my goal. Because ultimately, you don't have control over those things. You have control over your actions. You have control over what you need to do every day in order to accomplish that goal. And I think that if more people would focus on that, they would have less pressure on themselves, they would cause themselves less stress, and they would make the process much more enjoyable and sustainable at the same time.
I love it. Perfect. Mic drop moment, my man. Jordan, where can everyone find you online? The shameless plug time.
Yeah. So you can find me on my website, sustainhealthperformance.com. I am on Instagram at Jordan Poggle. I am on LinkedIn at Jordan Poggle, where a lot of my clients are. So those are the two areas you can find me. If you ever have questions or anything else, you can reach me there, or you can email me at Jordan@sustainhealthperformance.com.
Perfect. I'll link all that stuff in the show notes, because I will definitely, I'm not going to remember those off the top of my head, and neither will they, but I'll put all the links there for everyone. Jordan, thanks so much for taking the time, man. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and just having a chat with me.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable, man. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Later.